Hello, we're
Love
back.
Talk
Sorry.
Radio.
All right. Great.
We're going to jump right into it, and the Poet in Residence mic is open. And we're going to follow up with Brother Tom right after this.
Hello?
Your mic
is
open.
Did you call me?
This is Patriot.
Yes, your mic, Tom, the program's back on.
Okay.
We're calling with the poet next. Go ahead, Brother Matt Turner.
All right, this is called Patriot Act. Surreal screams, confusion reigns supreme. Blood, mostly O positive, puddles ankle deep. Everywhere, as if crimson rained from ragdoll strewn about the street. A 40-mile-per-hour wake-up call from fat, flabby, high-fructose corn syrup, hope and change sleep. Yes, we can kill children whose parents were stupid enough to name them collateral damage and civilian casualties. Infatuated with the Fuhrer, the neo-Nazi sliced his silver-gray Challenger through marchers like Robert E. Lee slicing the South on Traveler. Then back that thing up, getting the hell out of there. He's a hero. It'll take an all-white jury all 30 minutes to see alternative facts in this matter. Negroes and handlers seeking to get paid played the race card, blame game, and lost, hurling themselves on the hood of his muscle car. Adding insult to injury, now they're spouting the T word. Boys traumatized enough without nappy head fools talking terror. Damn fools know. No terrorists come from the Buckeye State, Keystone State, Lone Star State,
right,
or Land of Lincoln. Ragheads, diaperheads, sand niggas, camel jockeys come from a stan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, just name a stan.
Wow. Okay. You know, always
you know, a surprise ending. Well, thank you so much for that. And along the lines of that poem, this Ta-Nehisi Coates said, now that someone has been killed. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Now that someone has been killed, you have to add to that. Now that someone white has been killed.
Right.
And because we've been getting killed ever since Europe met Africa. Has he forgotten about coming to America and the slavery, the slave trade, the Middle Passage? Now that someone has been killed. And this is the mood that is in this country. It's we and alive and black lives have never mattered. And what we are doing on this program is to make sure that those who understood that black lives mattered and fought to make it real must be free. I'll let it go with that.
I apologize for the delay. We lost 5 minutes, so I'm slipping off a minute, even on our brother Ralph. Brother Tom, your mic is open, and then we go to Sister Ann. Brother Tom, your mic is open.
Hello, everyone. You know, I was thinking about there's a huge mistake going on, and that is, of course, it's perpetuated by the Democrats, whose party was founded on one of the pillars of the Democratic Party was racial supremacy of the whites, and that was the that continued throughout the history of the Democratic Party. And of course, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, that was in the 18th, 19th century, but not in the 20th century." Well, I just would like to remind people that in the administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the Dixiecrats of the South were given full rein to espouse their version of white supremacy, Jim Crow, and the rest of it. And even though some people thought that we were making a real step forward toward equality in this country with the election of President Obama, it turned out that this whole question of white superiority, white supremacy, continued. I don't remember Obama ever making any strong statements regarding this situation. You know, I don't know of any other country in the world that went through such an extreme event as our Civil War, the bloodiest war in American history. More people lost their lives, both military and civilian, during the Civil War than all of the other wars put together. And after the assassination of President Lincoln, the vice president, a Southern sympathizer, Andrew Jackson, Johnson, took over and allowed the Southern states that had caused this bloody disaster to come back into the Union to pass black codes, which in effect tried to re-enslave the black population. Well, let's look at it this way. Can you imagine, say, after World War II, in Germany, after what happened there, that certain German states, individual states, would have on their state flags a swastika in the corner, or that Hitler, Goering, and other Nazi leaders would have statues erected to them in public places, courthouses, and public squares in Germany. Can you imagine this? And that is exactly what happened in the United States after the Civil War, despite Reconstruction. Here you had statues of glorification of former slave owners who fought a bloody war to maintain slavery, and their Confederate flag and statues were put up throughout the South. Can you imagine, after the Russian Revolution, that the government there would allow statues of the Tsarist regime to be put up throughout Soviet Russia, or after the Chinese Civil War, the revolution, that the communist government there would allow statues of Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists to be put up in China? I mean,
I don't think so, Tom. I don't think so.
No, probably not.
I don't think so,
right. But the United, I don't know of any other country
right.
that has allowed those people who lost, who tried to maintain slavery and to maintain the worst level of white supremacy, to be given full reign in the states that had seceded from the Union. I can't think of any country where that happened. And of course, a lot of people say, well,
I have to move on because we've got short of time tonight. But if we can,
anyway,
we're going to come back.
I just wanted to bring out that point.
No,
that this has nothing
to
do with Trump. This has nothing to do with Trump. Trump is just playing on what has happened. What happened in Charlottesville has nothing to do with Trump. Trump is just playing on it. It has to do with the history of the United States, which never got over its white supremacy, its prejudice.
Well, on that note, I would like to say another fact, that German prisoners in the United States during World War II had more privileges in, I believe it was the state of Texas, to go into town than the black soldiers, the black American soldiers had. So racism has been much a part of the American situation and condition.
And on that note, we're going to go to Sister Ann Lamb, because Sister Ann Lamb represents our political prisoners. And Ralph Poynter's father used to say to his son, he had four sons, and whenever they got in fights with the white boys, they were the only black family, his father would say, "And then what did you do?" So Sister Ann Lamb represents the boys in the hood who knew what to do when their father asked them that question. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Thank you very much, Sister Betty. Actually, we're just having a conversation about this whole lovely incident with Jaleel on Sunday. And, you know, our conclusion was, and I'm agreeing with Ralph here, people are not prepared. You know, people are busy thinking, oh, you know, we can just, like, walk down the street, be unarmed, blah, blah, blah. And here's the right, well-armed, well-organized, disciplined, know what they're coming to do, which is, you know, not only did they kill this young woman, but they beat up a whole bunch of black people and nearly killed a young black man, which I just sent out, actually, on the email. So, you know, this is not surprising. I also agree with Tom. It's part of the history of this country. It's disgusting. It's outrageous. And this is what our political prisoners were fighting against, you know, and we're still fighting against it. We'll always be fighting against it until this country actually changes. So this is, you know, disgusting, yes. Surprising, no. It's been done before. It will be done again, you know, and we have to get ourselves organized so that we can respond, you know, in a like way.
And
there were some people there from the left who were armed as well, which is the Redneck Rebels. Virginia is an open carry state, all right? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Ralph.
No, you finish, Ann. I'm sorry I cut into you.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, this is you know, this is a little wake-up call for us, you know, for those of us who like to think that we can sing Kumbaya, you know, and it'll all go away. That's not going to happen. So, you know, people should pay attention, wake up, see what time it is, and get prepared, because if they want to start a race war, they're gonna start what they call a race war. There's gonna be a whole bunch of people who look just like them fighting against them too, because we are not gonna stand for this nonsense. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for that, Ann.
Well, that was just a small thing, but in the meantime, more things are going on with our political prisoners. Tom Manning was just moved. He's now at the Oakland Transfer Center. They already tried to move Tom once before, and it couldn't be done because the aircraft could not take a wheelchair. So now here's this man who has been, you know, in really bad physical shape for a long time, has not received adequate medical care. A lot of his injuries stem from when he was actually first captured, and, you know, they dislocated his shoulders and all kinds of stuff like that. And now they're moving him around the country. So we got to pay attention to what's going to happen with Tom Manning next. Where are they going to put him next? So that's important to know. I just got that news today. Also, Ramona Africa says, and this is good news, they did put up that historic marker in Philly yesterday. They did it on the QT so nobody would know, right, the one that the school children wanted for the MOVE bombing. So it is up. Seth, we might have to start another campaign for Seth. Now that the insulin pump has been working very well for a few weeks, they decided to fool around with it, so now it's not working well, shall we say. His sugars were up in the 400s on Saturday and Sunday. Didn't hear from him today. I might have to call there tomorrow and see what's going on. But he was saying, I did speak with him on Sunday as well, that they were planning, and I hope they would do it quickly, to take him to Albany Medical Center, where there are people who, A, know this pump and monitor, et cetera, and, B, you know, can figure out what's going on, because they're claiming, quote-unquote, that there is a glitch. And we're like, yeah, all of a sudden there's a glitch. It was working fine for a month, so there must be something wrong, right? So that's going on as well. Jan Lahman is still fighting getting transferred to a CMU, so we're working on that, you know, getting some funds for a lawyer. Sundiata Kohli has just put out a call for some support with legal funds. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with our prisoners, and as we see on the outside that things are getting worse, I can tell you very well that on the inside they're getting a lot worse. The new person in charge of the Bureau of Prisons is this former general named Inch. And General Inch has some very bad history. Abu Ghraib and Bagram. All right? Now, you think that Guantanamo is bad? Abu Ghraib and Bagram were much worse. So, you know, this is a guy who's going to be in charge of the federal prison system. So this is really, really bad news for everybody who's in the federal prison system, especially our political prisoners. They're already targeted. They're already, you know, suffering all the time. And now it's just going to get worse. So, you know, and also remember who voted for this guy. The Fraternal Order of Police endorsed him and voted for him. The PBA endorsed him and voted for him. The COs went out and voted for him. So the people who are in charge in the prisons, or nominally in charge in the prisons, are the same white racist supremacists that we see on the outside. And a lot of them really are, and they have tattoos with swastikas. They have tattoos with other symbols that are clearly white supremacist symbols. They walk around displaying them on their arms. And they work in a prison where most of the people who are confined there are black and brown people. So this is, you know, a serious, serious situation. So, you know, people really need to pay attention and pick up the work for our political prisoners. I'm going to be down in D.C. Saturday. We're having the Millions for Prisoners March. Jihad is going to be speaking at that. Paulette is going to be speaking at that. Ramona is going to be speaking at that. So it should be really good, and I hope people really do turn out for that. It's really, really an important issue. We have the most prisoners per capita of any country in the world. And this is a country that likes to tell other countries about their human rights violations and so on and so forth, blah, blah, you know. And they're violating people's human rights left and right every day. And we really need
to interrupt you here because need to give more information. This is a violation of the 13th Amendment, the abolition of slavery in the United States. Except as punishment for criminal conviction. And not only will there be a march in Washington, D.C., but San Jose, California, Riverside, California, Asheville, North Carolina, Montgomery, Alabama, Carrabelle, Florida, Kansas City, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Duluth, Minnesota, Omaha, Nebraska, Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, Colorado, Austin, Texas, Columbus, Ohio. So this will be concurrent marches all over the United States against this new slavery. Brother Ralph.
Yes, the most important thing, and we must get it through to all of those of goodwill, that our political prisoners, our captives, prisoners of war, must be considered first to get out of prison. This
Absolutely.
Is the that I find, or the most disgusting thing, our inability to make their liberation real.
All right, Brother Tariq. Thank you for your patience, Brother Tariq. Your mic is open. Joel, please hang in there with us. You're after Brother Tariq. Brother Tariq, you have the mic.
Yeah, tell me.
Peace. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, peace. I'm Tariq. I'm a Black Panther. I'm a former member of the Black Liberation Army. I just want to say that regretfully and sorrowfully, we lost our brother from the December 12th movement, Robert Taylor. Call Sister's Place. They'll give you the funeral information.
Oh, man.
We're talking tonight about the Charlottesville situation, about them wanting to tear down the statue of the general, Robert E. Lee. He led the charge to keep slavery going. That's basically what he's famous for. And slavery was about one group of people saying that they should be the chosen ones and all others should be denied at every turn. That is what slavery is about. So we want to ask ourselves the question of why do people think these mean-spirited thoughts? And to answer those questions, we should go to those people and ask them, why do they feel this way? And if we can't get that from them, then we'll have to turn to public records and of their main practitioners. And some of their main practitioners was Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and the person, Dylan Roof, who killed 9 people in Charleston, South Carolina. And when we look at them, at the records about them, the thing that we see about them is that they were very angry people.
Yep.
And then we should ask ourselves, why was these people so angry? And when we ask that question, we'll find that the answer was these people were rejected all of their lives, every day, all day, they were rejected. People was telling them that everything they did was wrong, that some article of furniture is more important to them, some dish is more important than they are, and that angered them. So that when these people were exposed to the scenario wherein it said that one group of people is more important than another group, that scenario resonated very strongly with these people, and that is what is going on. And these people resonate with that, and they get with that. But this matter of fascism and this matter of Ku Klux Klan and one group being more important than others, when we look at these people, we see that they studied the ancient Romans, and they studied about when there was a time when two people, known as consuls, they used to carry the fascist symbol. And these people had, like, absolute authority. But we got to know, all of us revolutionaries and progressive people, we have to know that this matter of the consul and them carrying the fascist symbol of the axe and that sort of thing, these things were introduced by abused children. And so ultimately we're going to have to educate ourselves out of this here storm of inferiority and superiority in this storm. We're going to have to educate ourselves out of that matter to let the our people know that these people are fascists and Ku Klux Klan person. They are pursuing childless solutions, solutions that were arrived at by people when they were children. And these solutions were introduced to the world, but they are fascist solutions, and they are not workable solutions. So we're going to have to educate ourselves out of that. But at the same time, we got to know that we have to stand up to the bullies and not let the angry people bully us good people. And we got to know there's a precedent of them doing that, and that's why you had slavery throughout history. Angry people bullied good people, and that's why you had World War II in Germany, in Italy, and in Japan. Also in Japan, the good people were bullied by the angry people, and these people took over, and they caused World War II, and 60 million lives were lost. So we good people have to stand up to these angry people and not let them bully us. But ultimately, we're going to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves out of the situation that we're in. Thank you.
Okay.
All right? Yes.
Okay, what we must understand, and I do not know psychology or sociology, but I do know the basic right of self-defense must be the human right, must be enacted upon in this situation. That is the solution. In spite of the lies of preachers and politicians and poverty pimps, we have an answer, your own human worth. If you understand that in this day and age, then you will practice the art of self-defense, and that is a psychological imperative. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. Brother Tom, I'm sorry, Brother Joel, your mic is open, and then we have two guest speakers after
you.
Yes. Brother,
yes.
Open. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Very clearly,
yes,
tonight.
Yes, can you hear me?
Very clearly.
Okay, I'm.
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking over this situation, and it looks to me like the country is polarizing in a way that a civil war is actually opening up, and the violence between the different factions is certainly escalating. And we should not look at this as the first act, because the first act came really hundreds of years ago. But there's an intensification because of the sense that the country is moving in an overtly fascistic direction. And people are acting in a degree of self-defense, but so far the popular forces, the anti-fascist forces, have been limiting themselves, and tactically may have to limit themselves to a degree from the full-fledged civil war. But it looks like this is developing with the violence of the right turning more and more deadly. And that means that the self-defense has to be able to be effective against that escalated violence. And it means that more people have to be educated and organized in self-defense. And it's really not just self-defense of some protesters or some demonstrators, but it's self-defense of the bulk of the people, and especially oppressed people, people that are racially oppressed, women, gays, transes. These people all have to be looking more and more and escalating themselves, their knowledge more and more into a to be aware of the kind of attack that we could be facing, and the methods that are necessary to fight back. And a lot of these right-wing forces are military people that have been trained and brainwashed and you could say hystericized in a military fashion. And they've been trained both in the use of arms, in the organized use of arms in groups, and they've been indoctrinated with certain motivations that can turn them into maniacs. And of course, we also have to keep up the conversation. We have to appeal to the people that are brainwashed to get them out of the brainwashing. But self-defense is a very important part of that, yep. Because a lot of those people will only listen to those whom they respect, whose respect is earned by their degree of self-defense. I want to say also one other thing, and that is that if the movement in defense against the growing fascism is allowed to be led by the Democratic Party, posing itself as the saviors from Republican Party fascism, they will sell us out and deliver us to the Republican Party fascists, if not even exceed the fascist measures and the fascist tactics once they are in power. For one example that immediately suggests itself, a lot of the forces around Trump really are Nazi and fascist forces. But the Democratic Party and the part of the movement that's heavily influenced by the Democratic Party is attacking Putin, is attacking Trump, mainly because he has, to some degree, and at least for the time being, said no to actual warfare against Russia and its allies, although he has to do a lot of tough talking at the same time. But so far, he has not launched the tactics that Hillary Clinton and the people in back of her and the Democratic Party had advised, like a no-fly zone over Syria and supporting ISIS and al-Qaeda against the legitimate government of Syria. This could have easily triggered World War III right there. And these people are equally as violent with the Republicans. They have different tactics. Their slogan was stronger together. They mean that they're a little bit hesitant about openly racial attacks in the United States, which can divide the country and weaken its imperialistic thrust against the rest of the world. They want to get everybody to hate the chosen enemy, and they feel that the United States now is at its military peak. If it waits much longer, that they will lose that advantage, and so apparently they want an immediate confrontation right away, and they have moved troops to surround the Russian border. They have politically taken over the Ukraine and are conducting civil war against any progressive forces left in the Ukraine and they're right on the Russian border. So this is,
yes,
a product of the Democratic Party, and
yes,
this is the angle from which we have to have an angle of international and interracial solidarity and oppose yes.
Joel, we're going to have to cut in. We need to continue this next week. Remember, our program is a little bit truncated because of the technical glitch. But you've got to repeat that scenario again next week. Ralph.
And as I say, I'm going to adopt a World War II philosophy, short change. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. This message to people of color. Praise whoever. Mm-hmm. Pass the ammunition, because I see great danger in front of us if we take any other solution.
Well, I'd like to add to that. I'd like to quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or was it Teddy Roosevelt? Speak softly and carry a big stick. And if you can't carry a big stick, carry a can of hairspray. It's a lighter. Okay, we're going to go back to Sister Ann. Can you give us, I think we cut you off. And then we have Brother Ralph is going to come back. We want to try and get Mamiya in. Sister Ann.
Oh, it would be lovely to get Mamiya in. He just did a commentary about this whole situation. And people should definitely take the time to listen to it. So if that's what's going to happen, you should do that.
Ann, let's go. Do you have any facts you want to give us?
No, I'm looking forward to being in D.C. on the 19th. I hope it's a huge amount of people. I'm very happy to hear it's happening all over the country. That's great. But I would love to hear what Mamiya has to say.
Mike is yours.
I think Betty, Sister Betty, is ready with the statement from
Mr. Jamal.
And the shockwave from Charlotte, Virginia, a resonating world. The roiling hatred that rolled through the city featured a panorama of paranoia, stars and bars, swastikas, Nazi regalia, Klan crosses, and Trump hats. They are America's hidden face, now open for all to see. They are America. They are the razor's edge of the millions who heard Donald J. Trump's inane claim that Obama was born in Africa. This was Trumpese, for he's not one of us. He's not a real American like us. Get it? Wink, wink. This, the aging population of a dying generation, is the unseen undertow that floated Trump to the Oval Office. And to ask Trump to disavow or condemn them or their beliefs is like asking grapes to condemn jelly. It can't honestly be done. For they are a part of him, and he is a part of them. Thus we see Trumpism unmasked. Make America great again indeed. Charlottesville is the illegitimate son of Charleston, South Carolina. Two cities, one example. White rage on full boil, open, visible, present. The grievances of people who have been betrayed by capitalism, by corporate flight, by NAFTA, and by the turning, clicking clock of change has become the fuel for attacks on the eternal other. Blacks, Jews, Latinos, students, anyone deemed not truly white. Make America great again. Make America hate again. Make America white again. That's Trumpism. How can Trump denounce himself from imprisoned nation? This is Mumia Abu Jamal. These comments are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
All right, before we go tonight, we have a visitor from Richmond, Virginia. We're going to give him 1 minute to make an announcement. Brother Juan, your mic is open. You have 1 minute, sir.
Yes, hello. Good evening. I'm calling on behalf, I'm a construction worker from the Caribbean, and I'm calling on behalf of a brother that I met in Richmond, Virginia, who had suffered a stroke. He was homeless, but yet he had a house. I moved him in the community to see if I can get support to establish, to put together a construction crew to rebuild the house, and I couldn't get any support. Now, there is an urgent need for us to establish a construction company specifically designed to fulfill the needs of our precious people in the Black, Brown, and Native American community, and that doesn't exist. I have the collateral. I don't have a criminal record by the grace of God. And I have perfect credit, so I'm willing to do this. So I need to speak to in person with Sister Betty or Ralph. I met you at the Left Forum. So please give me an opportunity to meet with you. We need to take the process beyond the talk, because the children are asking for us to come. They need to feel our presence in our community. So please, I'm begging you, for the sake of our precious people, give me an opportunity to meet with you. I'm divorced and I'm retired. I have all the time necessary for this purpose, and that this is my main focus. I have.
Well,
thank you for that.
And you have my number. After the program, or any time, middle of the night, early in the morning, give me a call, and we will pursue this situation. Thank you so much for calling in, and we will hope.
Apart. I wish you could know what it means.